Blog Talk Radio.
Play the drums. Take me back, back to the shack, back to the strap with the lightning strap. Kicking the door, more hardcore, rocking it out like it's 94. Let's turn up the radio, turn off those stupid singing shows. I know where we need to go, back to the shack. I finally settled down with my girl and I made up with my dad. I can find out who I am. I'm letting all of these feelings out, even if it means I fail. Cause this is what I was meant to do, and you can't put that on sale. Take me back, back to the shack, back to the shack with the lightning strap. Kicking the door, more hardcore, rocking out like it's 94. Let's turn up the radio, turn off those stupid things.
Concert. I got to see Ben Folds. Tuesday, I had a wrestling show with my girlfriend's brother. It was actually really phenomenal. Got to see some of the top Japanese talent come to Philadelphia. And Wednesday, I went to see Ben Folds again. And then we had scheduled the show for Thursday, but just stuff ended up happening. I'm here, of course, with my partner, Garrett.
Welcome back, everybody. Glad to be back on the broadcast. Hope everybody enjoyed their week and weekend.
And last week as well.
Yeah, the Preakness. Hope people won some money from that.
You know, the funny thing about that is I was at Parks when the Preakness was on, and I was playing poker. I had pretty much every combination except the one that came in.
Yeah, well,
I had the 6 and the 7 with the 1, but I didn't have the 5.
I know American Pharoah won again, and he's going for the Triple Crown.
Yeah, the 5 horse came in second. And it screwed me because I had the 6. I keyed the 6 and the 7, and I had them both, and I just didn't think to play that 5.
I actually didn't play any. I completely forgot it was going off until after when I saw the result. I'm not, I don't follow horse racing. I bet the Kentucky Derby, but it's because I remember it was going off.
Well, yeah, I only play horses. My grandfather. My grandfather was a big horse player. Of course, if everyone remembers, I just took him to Glenn Miller concert. He's turning 99 May 27th.
Wow, good genes in your family.
Anyway, but yeah, so My grandfather was a big horse player. He got me into it. He was also the one who got me into poker. And poker, I've pretty much been playing 8-16 a lot lately, which is
what a stud game, right?
Stud Omaha High Low. Get a half hour stud high low, half hour Omaha high low.
The problem with that is there's too many pots, isn't
there? There is. It's $4 every half hour you got to pay, plus any of a dollar.
Well, that's better than a break. And...
right. It's close.
Well, no, because you got to ante every hand a dollar.
Well, when you play stud, that's what you do.
Ante every hand you play or ante every
hand? No, you ante every hand.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do. I start with 200, see where it goes.
Wow.
And, you know, it's at 200. It's really fast. Especially, and they have kill pot. So if someone wins $90 and it's not split, it becomes a kill pot. So the game goes from 6-12 to 10-20. You want to talk about losing money fast?
Yeah.
Try getting a 4-card flush or a 4-card streak.
Well, Parks just opened up a 1-3 hold'em game. That goes pretty fast, though.
Yeah, well, the 1-3 game, they usually only get one table on it.
Yeah, they only get one table.
What's the difference between 1-3 and 1-2?
The raise, you come in bigger, you come in 15, 20, you know, the re-raises the pots are bigger. It's a bigger game. Plays bigger.
What's the buy-ins, though?
500 max, I think.
Okay. Yeah, sorry everyone, we're talking a little bit about poker. Poker's how Garrett and I actually met. We started playing poker when, I was underage, but I think I met Garrett when, I'm a few years older than Garrett. I think I met Garrett when he was like 16. We were already 3 years into our game. But,
But that's enough of our poker story, because we're the one sporting. Let's get to the reason
real sports. Like I said, I apologize to everybody. Everybody knows what's coming up tonight. We're going to start backwards just for this week because, like I said, we weren't here last week. So I want to get Garrett's thoughts on this one topic. Has been very controversial, and he sparked a lot of, shall we say, interest in both Twitter and Facebook world. Deflategate. Penalty going on Deflategate, and I'm pretty sure we're going to have a healthy debate here. I'm going to let Garrett have the floor, and he's going to tell you his thoughts, and then I'll start going to my thoughts, and then we'll start debating.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you for the floor. Let me take it. So here's my thoughts on Deflategate. All right, to start right off the bat, I do think Tom Brady was guilty. You know, I think he definitely knew what was going on.
You think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those texts.
No, you can't see my text phone messages.
Yeah, and the one guy saying the deflator was his way of saying he was trying to lose weight, and you heard that number.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a bunch of trash.
It's a bunch of more.
Right. But having said that, and I do feel like he should have been punished in a certain way, but I'm going to go on record as I've been saying all week. That four games.
Hold on. The punishment to Brady or the punishment to the Patriots?
Just in general, the combination of the punishment. Because it came down as one punishment.
What do you think, which aspects do you think were too harsh?
I think that the first round draft pick was way too harsh. The four games, I'm on board with it. I think it's a little high, maybe two games, maybe three. But if it was four games without the draft picks being taken away, I'd say, okay, fine, you know, sit out the four games and be done with it. $1 million, that's not much, you know, Robert Kraft. Uses tips $1 million when he goes out to eat. So,
I want to serve him.
So that's not the big deal. But you take away a first round pick, you take away a fourth round pick. Now let's just think about it. Because I'm going to make a point that's going to hit home with a lot of Philadelphia listeners. Everybody in Philadelphia right now, you know, because obviously the people I speak to mainly are from Philadelphia, is on their high horse, their moral horse, and they're riding high and they're saying that the Patriots are cheaters. And the Patriots deserve to be punished, and this is what they get. Let's not forget that when the Philadelphia Phillies won the World Series in 2008, there was a big controversy that they were stealing signals. J.C. Romero was on steroids. So there was that's 2 points of cheating right there. The signals, I think, relates more to what's going on with the Deflategate than Romero being on steroids. But nobody mentioned it. Nobody talks about it, and when everybody talks about the 2008 Phillies, they talk about the World Bleakman Champions, like Chase Utley said. So, save yourselves the hypocrisy, and let's just look at it from that point of view. If you think the Phillies do not deserve to be punished for stealing signals, then why do you think the Patriots should lose a draft pick for deflating a football? When in other people around the NFL say Aaron Rodgers overinflates the ball, he likes it heavier. Was it Jeff Saturday or Mike Golick? I can't remember which one said that guys, running backs, sometimes defensive ends, they put oils, they spray like oils on their jersey to slip off a tackle, slip off of blockers, illegal substances that you can't have on your jerseys. Jerry Rice used illegal stickums. He came out and admitted it on his hands. So that's a lot of cheating going on. Not to mention that just in general, a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of people say that you make the balls how you like them. So it's just a lot going on. There's a lot of Patriot hate in the world. A lot of people are jealous because the Patriots are successful. A lot of people don't like Belichick. They don't like Spygate. And they were punished for Spygate, and they lost their draft picks, and I understand. And I'm not saying that it's right to cheat in any matter, but I'm saying that this is way overboard. Ray Rice got 2 games for KO and his girlfriend. People get punished for less, you know, for worse. And to me, and I usually like Roger Goodell, and I'm on record. I might be the only one in the world who usually likes Roger Goodell. But to me, he botched this one. He messed it up. The Patriots are appealing, and I hope that they get their draft picks back. Go ahead, Matt.
All right, that was Garrett's thoughts. My thoughts are the complete opposite. This did not go far enough. Tom Brady cheating, and I don't really care about the cheating. You cheat, you get caught, and you admit it. That way, you know, everyone messes up. Yeah, I was trying to gain an advantage. I admit it. Okay, I can move on with that. When you try to cover stuff up and you don't show text messages, etc., I think that's where the harsh punishment comes. Furthermore, the Patriots have been caught 3 times cheating. There was 1 time right before, and then there was Spygate. Someone alleged something before, and then Spygate happened. They caught him on Spygate. They gave him a slight tap on the wrist. They didn't even take any of their first-round picks. It was ridiculous. They lost picks. They lost like a 5th and a 6th. They were low draft picks, and that's why they got killed. South Park made a great episode about Belichick cheating, where Cartman was Belichick, and he says if you get caught, you just explain. I did not understand. They do. All right.
Well,
and that was Cartmanis, and that was awesome. And he's absolutely right. They just pretended that they didn't know the rules. That's bull. They knew the rules, and everyone knows that they knew the rules. Do I understand that everyone's going to try to get an advantage? Absolutely. You know what? They got caught, and they got caught more than once. Now, you're going to sit there, and you're going to tell me that the suspension is too harsh because of Ray Rice. How about Sean Payton?
I didn't say it was...
How about Sean Payton?
What? Sean Payton? What? When he got
one full year.
Yeah, but they were putting bounties out on guys.
He never put a bounty on a guy. His freaking coordinator did.
Well, he was the head coach. So, but the whole Patriots are getting for something that they might not have known about. Robert Kraft might not have known.
Brady did.
And I didn't say that.
Tom Brady directly did this and then covered it up. Goodell said when Peyton did this, if you try to cover it up, and that was his rationale for banning Sean Payton for a year, is because he tried to cover it up. He said, if you try to cover it up, you're going to get hit harder. And then he doesn't follow through with Brady.
And I said that if the before game suspension was the punishment, then I said, okay, you know, he deserves to be punished. I said the first round pick was too much, and
no,
I'm standing
no,
by
it's
it.
No, not.
Did the Saints
no,
win the first
not.
Round pick?
Absolutely. They what? Lost 3 picks.
What rounds?
They lost round 1. I don't know the other 2, but they lost 3 picks that year.
Well, listen, I'm going to go on record and tell you this, that there's a difference between putting a bounty. Well, all right, he didn't know. I get it. Sean Payton might not have known. Whatever. That's
and Greg Williams,
that's debatable.
Which, hold on. Greg Williams, who directly did that, and there was no written rule against it.
Yeah, he got suspended and lost his job there.
For 2 years.
Right.
And then he was allowed to come back with
okay.
St. Louis.
But there's a difference when you're putting a bounty on it, when you're saying go out and
Buddy
take
Ryan
this receiver
did
out.
That. It was instant.
And Buddy
no.
Ryan should have been suspended too.
No, the NFL does not care about bounties. And it was all because
safety is the biggest issue.
Hold on,
in the NFL.
That's exactly it. Because they were getting sued for concussions, they knew they had to react. The NFL, let me tell you, did not give a crap about their coaches putting bounties. They would have encouraged it.
All right, well, let me...
Hold on. I gave you the floor.
No.
Give me the floor. If there was no concussion case, they do not care about bounty case. Bounties have been going on for 50, 60 years. Goodell said this harms the spirit of the rule. Now, the reason why Goodell's got to come down hard on the Patriots is because, Garrett, why do you watch football other than outside of Philadelphia? Be honest.
I mean,
fantasy
it,
football?
Fantasy, betting. Yeah, I like
the game. Those two aspects, especially betting. Fantasy indirectly has to do with betting, even though sometimes you don't get your payoff to the end of the year. It's all betting. So if someone cheats and hurts the integrity of the game, they have to do something, especially when they're caught for the third freaking time. They have to go hard on them. And they did not, in my opinion, they didn't go hard enough. I can live with this. I can live with Brady getting four games. I don't think it's enough. Because I think that the reason why you nailed Payne for a full year is because you try to cover it up. Guess what? So did Tom Brady. Tom Brady should have gotten a full year. But he's not going to. I get it. He's 40 years, he's 38, 39 years old. Send him out for a whole year. He may never come back, and that hurts your product. So they won't do that. Four games is enough, I guess. The draft picks, I guess, are enough. The fine was not nearly enough. This should have been a Penn State type of fine type thing. Because this problem with the Patriots is systemic. It goes through the entire organization, from their part-time employees to their quarterback to their head coach to their owner. And if you don't like it, we'll get new people in, and then we can reset. Because if you say that it's just Patriots hate, no. The Patriots have shown that they will go bend, break every rule possible, not care when they get caught because of their owner's big paycheck or a big pocketbook, and just pay off whatever they have to. You may go now.
All right. So let me just say a couple of things. First of all, you're through the system, you're systemic, the Patriots are a total mess, they're all cheaters. That's ridiculous. They cheat. Every organization in sports cheats. Every company.
All right, let me stop you there. How many teams have gotten caught cheating?
Every team gets caught cheating for something.
How many teams in the NFL have gotten caught cheating? And you know damn well that would have been in the public if they did it. How many investigations did they do for the past, I don't know, since the bounty case? How many NFL investigations? How many NFL teams have been investigated?
Listen, I'm going to take
No. Answer my question.
No, let me finish my point.
No.
I gave you the floor.
No, okay.
I don't know, man. I don't count the investigation. I'm not on iTunes. Listen, I'm taking the word of Mike Golic. I'm taking the word of Jeff Saturday. I'm taking the word of all the other NFL players.
Who are irrelevant? You told me that's irrelevant because when Ryan did it,
they're not talking about bounties.
It's a different
thing. They're talking about when teams play, when players play. They're not talking about anything with the bounty. I'll get to that.
How many of them got caught? How many of them got caught?
I don't know. A lot of guys get caught.
Zero.
A lot of stuff.
Zero.
Zero. The Patriots are the only organization that's ever been investigated for anything. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Go look up your history. I guarantee you that's not true. I don't know off the top of my head every team.
Since the bounty gate, how many other NFL teams have been investigated?
I would have to do the research.
Atlanta got the noise put in. Okay, so they got slapped on the wrist. And again, that's something the Patriots did. They would have gotten a stiffer fine. When Atlanta does something, can you please silence your phone? When Atlanta does something again, they're going to get caught nailed for doing it. But what I'm telling you is it's not many teams. It's two teams. There was
Let me finish my point because I don't know. I'm going to have to do the research. Anybody wants to call in with the research on that, please do so. Now you made me lose my train of thought. So I'll go back to what I was going to say because I don't remember where I was at. But let me go back to your point about the bounty gate, because that was without a doubt the stupidest argument I've ever heard in my entire life, comparing this to bounty gate, saying that the NFL doesn't care about bounty gate because of the concussions and they care now because of the concussions.
Why.
All right, maybe that's true, and I'm not going to discard that, and I'm not going to say that they don't have a
I think that your argument's more retarded. What advantage?
Just let me finish my
What advantage in bounties give to the other team? What advantage do the Saints get from making those bounties?
Well, if teams
None.
Know about it, then they're going to be
None.
More worried to go over the middle.
None. Yeah.
All right, man, you know what? Why don't Greg Williams put his ass out there on the field and go in against
250 pounds who are running 7,000 miles an hour and having other people say, if you take Greg Williams' head off, we're going to give you extra money. No, Greg Williams will sit at home on the sit on the sideline and put other people in. Just like in this country when people say to go to war, but they'll sit on their ass in their living room. You don't fucking tell anybody.
Whoa.
You don't tell anybody to do anything if you're not going to do it yourself. And if you're going to sit there and you're not going to get out and you're not going to do something yourself, then keep your mouth shut and don't tell somebody else to do something.
Hold on. Now, that is completely irrelevant. I asked you what type of competitive advantage.
The competitive advantage is
none.
If the other team knows that there's a chance that there's a bounty on their head, they're going to be more reluctant to do things. You know, they're going to have, I'll short on the pass.
Garrett, let's look at how Bountygate was discovered. It was discovered by an internal member who told after he was fired. No other teams knew. So, again, what advantage did it bring? None. That's my point. This brought an advantage to the Patriots.
It gave incentive to the players
I guarantee you, if Brady doesn't open his mouth in 2007 or 8, talking about I like a deflated ball, he doesn't get caught.
I hope Greg Williams gets his ACLs torn, because when you send somebody in and you say that you're going to pay them extra money to hurt somebody, you don't deserve to be in the NFL. So Greg Williams, I have no respect for
him.
So competitive advantage or
so
not.
So you didn't like Buddy Ryan?
No, not really. Not if he did that. I mean, Buddy Ryan was coaching before my time. I mean, I know who he is. I know the 64 defense or the 40, whatever, the 46. He's defensive coordinator of Bears. I know he coached the Eagles. I know he's a beloved figure here. I know all that. I know he's Rex's and Rob's father. But he was coaching before my time, before I was really into football. So I didn't see all the stuff he was doing and all that. But let me tell you, if he was doing that, then I have no respect for him, and he should not be a part of football.
He didn't deny it, and he flat out said yes.
Well, then he shouldn't be a part of football, or he should have got his fat ass out there and went across the middle.
Calm down with the leg.
He should have got himself out there, went across the middle, and let guys come barreling into him. Don't send somebody else out and tell them to hurt somebody if you're too scared to get out there yourself or you don't have the ability. No, coaching is telling your players how to play, positioning them, putting plays on the field to get open, putting plays on the field to sack the quarterback, putting in disguised coverages. That's coaching. Coaching isn't going out and telling somebody to purposely hurt somebody to take them out of the game. That's not coaching.
Oh, yes, it is. Another way, let's just say that DeMarco Murray has a broken hand. You're not going to tell your players to hit the hand? You're going to tell them to hit the injured player. It's the same thing.
There's a difference. He's not. But you're talking about guys who aren't injured. You're talking about in the beginning of the game, Buddy Ryan or Greg Williams. I'll use Greg Williams. So say the Saints were playing, I don't know, the...
How is it not worth to say go after the injury? Go try to hurt him. Try to make sure that we get the football.
You're going to try to knock the football. But let's be realistic. And a lot of guys, you don't want to go out and you don't want to really hurt somebody. I mean, if you really want to go out and hurt somebody, then you shouldn't be playing.
Oh, there are a lot. Are you kidding? Bill Romanowski?
Complete whack job.
Oh, absolutely. But there are a lot of them like that.
And there's a lot of guys who go out and they play hard and they make their plays.
The special teamers who go out there, they used to call them the wedge busters. They go out there and they...
I got no respect for anybody taking cheap shots at anything.
Okay.
You go out there and you make your plays, you play hard, you tackle hard. I think the NFL is getting a little too soft. I agree that they're calling too many soft penalties, and I agree that they should cut some of that back.
Time out. You don't know what Bountygate was about. You don't know that specifically he was saying, go injure the guy. He could have been saying, go make a big hit. And you see that on special teams all the time. They give a bonus for the pancake block.
You listen to any of that stuff. They came out and they said it, that they were trying to injure Kurt Warner.
They told him to hit him hard. That's what defensive.
You don't know exactly what deflate is. Oh, big shit, big deal. He took out a couple pieces of air from a football. They beat the Colts by 9,000 points. They could have played with a bowling ball and beat the Colts.
I agree. However, I don't think that was the first time they did it. I think it was
the
first time.
And the referees touched the ball on every single play. So what kind of trained referees are this that they don't know what kind of footballs are legal and what kind of footballs aren't? Because every single play, the referee touches the ball to spot.
They're part-time employees. That's what they are. The NFL doesn't have enough training, and they don't have enough man hours. It's ridiculous that a team gets to bring their own balls out there. Why doesn't the NFL just bring all the game balls out there?
I agree with you on that point. That was just dumb.
But my point is, it's a systemic problem with the Patriots that they feel that they have this entitlement that they can cheat whenever they want.
How about Green Bay? They say Aaron Rodgers overinflates the ball to a higher.
And if he gets caught, then he should be penalized.
Well, it's already been put out there. I don't know. You know, I don't measure the football, so I don't know myself.
And I guarantee you, after this, he was doing it.
And I love Aaron Rodgers. And the Patriots came out in the second half when they had the other balls, the regulation balls, and they beat them by even more.
I think the game is irrelevant because, like I said, I don't think it's a first time offense. I think they were doing it until they got caught. And what you're doing here is you're making sure they stop trying to shoot. Guys, I really appreciate a call in on this because I haven't seen one person agree with Garrett, and I sure as heck do not.
No, there's a couple people that agree with me.
There's maybe a few.
And I'm not saying not to punish him. I'm not saying not to punish Brady. I'm not saying that Brady's innocent. I'm just saying that for this, it's a little bit too much. And we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see what happens in the appeal process. And we'll see if it gets reduced. And if it doesn't get reduced, then the Patriots will pay the fine and will lose the draft pick. And, you know, there's nothing they can do. And the story will get washed away like every other story for us after a few weeks.
We clearly have a winner here, and that's me. So I'm going to play this for myself. Sweep the leg, Johnny. See, even he was trying to ginger his opponent.
Sweep the leg, Johnny, what's that?
Never watched Karate Kid?
Oh, yeah, I don't remember that. I've seen it, but I don't remember
Johnny.
That. Exactly. I don't think you won the argument. I think it's ridiculous. I think that if you want the Patriots to be punished harshly, then you can't say that Bounding Gate was too punished or that this guy's too punished. You have to say everybody should be punished harsher than the actual.
I do not think so. I think the first time you get caught, you should realize that you got to slow your roll.
But this was the first offense for this.
No, but it wasn't the first offense with this regime. Brady was there, Belichick was there, and Kraft was there.
And I'll be honest, on this, Spygate, yeah, I know Belichick knew about that. On this, I'm not so sure Belichick knew about it. You know, I'm pretty sure Robert Kraft had no idea what kind of football was.
I know Belichick didn't, because if Belichick knew about it, he'd be going for the year.
Right, so this it's really tough to then, you know, I know Brady knew about it, and the ball boys or whoever does it. But it's really tough to then go ahead and discredit Belichick and Kraft and talk down about them for something they had absolutely nothing to do with. You know, if you are with a couple buddies, say you go out with your friends and your buddies steal a bunch of stuff from a store and you didn't know about it, and all of a sudden the cops come and grab you all, you know, should you really be punished for that when you had nothing to do with it? If you didn't know, if you had a getaway driver, that's one thing. But if you had no idea, you know, they didn't say.
People get caught up in that situation and do get punished. But I don't want to get too much into political rants because I have a feeling that we'll get in more trouble and there's no way in heck that we'd be approved by iTunes. By the way, to all my listeners, I did tell you I did apply for iTunes to listen to us and hopefully to eventually allow us to go on. Now, we may have to get rid of Back to the Shack. I'm not sure. But, I haven't heard anything from them, but I have a feeling that the copyright infringement is going to have a lot to do with the reason why. And, Garrett, the one thing I'm going to ask you on here, I know it's not really the most professional thing. How did you get that voicemail set up? Did you have a secretary or something?
What voicemail?
Your voicemail when your phone goes to voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
Did you actually have a secretary or did you just, like...
No, it was one of the higher secretaries.
Yeah, we need to get something like that.
Yeah, no, it's not mine. We can get anybody to fill that in. Yeah, she just, I thought it would be better than me. Cause
single Garrett can bring one of his chicks over and she'll voice over for us.
She'll voice over. So, all right, let's just take a breather then. Deep breath, everybody. And let's go to something.
Come on, guys, we need some calls on that. I mean, we were really passionate.
What do we have on our next agenda?
By the way, you were wrong. Anyway, not really debatable. Draft lotteries tonight. Garrett, what are you watching?
I'll probably watch from home, maybe the gym, I don't know. And I think I talked about it before, I've been really, really lazy with it. And I don't know the percentages breakdown. You got the percentage breakdown
15.5%
on
that? 15.5% to get the goal
in six. Here's the only problem. If they get number one, I mean, obviously, you always want number one. It leaves you the most options without doubt. But personally, from a selfish standpoint, if they get to number one and they can't trade back a couple spots, I don't really want them to take Towns or Okafor. I really do want D'Angelo Russell. So it's like
Towns will be the pick.
It's like, do you want one? If you get one and then you can trade it, get Russell and assets, then of course. But it's like, do you want to take that chance? Because if you don't trade it and then you take Towns. But then if you don't get one and you get four or five, is Russell there? You know, so it's
yeah, you want them to stay right where they're at in three.
Pretty much as long as you can guarantee that Okafor and Towns do it. Okafor and Towns.
Okafor and Towns are clearly.
Well, I mean, all right, so Minnesota's the favorite. They have Rubio, so I doubt they'd go for Russell. New York, they don't really have any big men. I don't think they have any guards either, really, though.
They'll go best player.
So they'll probably take a big man. The Lakers, Jordan Clarkson looks like he's a good player, so he probably would skip on Russell. Orlando got Alfred Payton. I don't think they would go after Russell. Sacramento, they're in the 5 or 6 spot. If they sneak up, they got Cousins. I don't know how much interest they'd have in a big man. Cousins is a monster.
Right, and that's about as low as we're going to go. The Sixers, I read, have a small chance to get number 11 from Miami. So what has to happen is Indiana, Utah, Phoenix, or OKC need to get the number 1 or 2 or 3 pick. That happens, Miami falls down one, and we get Miami's pick. I understand there's about a 15% chance of that happening. And then the Lakers, we need them to drop 2 spots. So we need 2 of the teams between Orlando, Sacramento, Denver, Detroit, Charlotte, Miami, Indiana, Utah, Phoenix, and OKC to jump into the top 3. And if 2 of them do, then we get the number 6 pick from the Lakers.
It's not going to happen. No.
So I think that was about a 10% chance of that. So
my ultimate scenario coming out of this.
But, however, if that one happens and we do get number 11 or 12, because if 2 teams, now it would be number 11 probably. If we get number 11, then there's probably about a 20% chance that we get the Lakers as well. So we can get all 3 guys. That would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I mean.
Now, here's my question to you. Do you do the MCW deal today knowing that there's only a 15% chance you're getting picked this year?
I have to imagine that when they did the trade, they had to calculate the future and saw that there was a really small
chance. Right, but I'm not asking what Sam Hinkie would do. I'm asking what Garrett would do.
It's tough to say because
he looked good in the playoffs.
If they get D'Angelo Russell, then you don't need Michael Carter Williams. Having said that, this pick could still turn into the 18th, 20th pick in the draft. Who knows?
Right.
Next year.
I don't think that's going to happen. I understand they're going to try to do something for Kobe. I think Kobe's done. I think Kobe is done, and they're not going to be a good team next year. They're going to stay in the top 10. And next year, it's only top 3 protected.
I would like to get 6 right now and be done with it.
Oh, I think everyone would, but that's not an option. How about, would you mind falling to 5 and 6 if that's what it took? Sixers would not get the top 3 picks. They fall down 3 spots to the number 6 spot.
And who are we getting? Because Towns, Okafor, Russell is probably gone. Is that dude Moutier still available? I don't know.
No, he's probably going to 4.
So then we're looking at – I do like Justice Winslow as a prospect. He'd be one of the guys I definitely
and
take.
And then one of the international guys. Or Stanley Johnson.
Yeah, I don't know too much about them. I would definitely take Justice Winslow in that.
Stanley Johnson is an athletic freak. He reminds everyone of Andre Iguodala.
Drafting Andre Iguodala.
Andre Iguodala would have gone easily 5th overall in his draft.
Yeah, 8th or 11th.
Like 8, but he would have gone 5th in this draft.
Maybe not.
Because, I mean, he's an effective NBA player.
He's a
borderline all-star.
Yeah, I think
and he's a defensive
player.
Playmaker.
He's a good player.
Right. That's the kind of guy you're going to get at 5 and 6.
You get Dwayne Wade with 5.
Yeah, but that's because teams didn't watch any NCAA tournament that year, apparently, because he was phenomenal in the tournament. I don't think you can get a real game changer if you fall out of the top 4. So I'd rather have a top 3 pick than have 5 and 6.
I'd rather have that as well. My dream
unless you can trade 5 and 6 to move up to like 1 or 2.
I don't think you could do that. But my dream scenario for this draft is to somehow get
going to happen. But not only do I not think that's going to happen, I've been reading a lot of stuff that's saying the Sixers are going to screw around with other teams with restricted free agents this year. The reason why, in case everyone doesn't know, the NBA cap is going to move up $15 million next year. It's already set. So everyone's going to have money. The Sixers are one of the only teams who has all kinds of money this year. So what they're going to do is they're going to bring Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, and I can't remember if there's a third guy, too, that they might bring in. And they might say, all right, you tell me what type of deal it is. I'll tell you what type of deal it's going to be. It's going to be the same deal that LeBron James signed. 2-year deal and max money with an option for a third year. And the reason why they're doing the option for a third year is because there might be a player strike. And that way, they get guaranteed for the player strike. And what it does is it bankrupts other teams when free agency comes and the Sixers are ready to spend.
I don't know, though, if a player like Jimmy Butler or Kawhi Leonard is going to want a 2-year guarantee. I think they're going to want a longer
term. No, they don't. They're going to want both max players in this contract. And not only that, the reason why everyone's going to want the shorter deal is because max money is also going up with the salary cap coming up. So that's why everyone's going to want the shorter contract. I guarantee you, Gav, they're all going to get 2 years as the third option.
Maybe if he stays in San Antonio or Chicago, but we'll see what happens. I'll put my bet on it that if they don't,
$20 right now.
Fine. If they stay in Chicago or San Antonio, then yeah, maybe it'll be a 2-year deal.
That was for entertainment purposes only.
If Butler stays in Chicago, Leonard stays with San Antonio, then yeah, I agree, it'll probably be like a 2-year deal. But if one of them goes to another team, any other team in the NBA, I guarantee you it'll be longer.
I guarantee you they're going to sign an offer sheet from someone else. It's going to be 2 years plus a third option.
We'll see when the offer sheet's coming.
Absolutely.
Out. I think if it's with another team, it'll be a longer
deal.
There's
three top free agents. Whoever gets two first wins. This it's a gentleman's bet. We don't really bet for money here.
Right.
That's illegal.
Right. So a gentleman's bet, you know, just for fun, just for
giggles. We can see that.
Just for giggles. But yeah, I think if another team offers, I mean, I would love the Sixers. We talked about this a few weeks ago. I think that Kawhi Leonard would be perfect to go this round.
Also, guys, I'm sorry to get off topic, but tonight I am going. If you're listening to this live, I am going to the Sixers draft party. And the draft party is being hosted by another podcast that is very good if you just follow the Sixers. And I give them a lot of credit because they've done a Sixers podcast at a time where it's been really hard to do a Sixers podcast. Liberty Ballers, Spike Eskin is one of his friends. But they're having their draft party tonight at Buffalo Wild Wings. I'll definitely be there. Please feel free to come up and tell me you're a fan, and I will gladly talk to you all the sports you'd like.
Sign an autograph.
I will gladly sign an autograph. I've been trying to talk my partner in here, Garrett, into coming. My best friend Eric will be, he's a frequent caller, will also be there.
I might stop by. What time is it going on?
8:39. It's real quick.
All right, maybe. We'll see what happens. But anyway, so yeah, I think Kawhi Leonard would be the perfect player to build this team around. You get D'Angelo Russell. You have Embiid, who hopefully develops into a player. You have Noel, who looks like he's developing. You get Kawhi Leonard. You bring Saric over. You have guys like Tony Roten off the bench. Robert Covington could be a three-point specialist. I mean, all of a sudden, the team's starting to come together. Will they compete when LeBron's still LeBron? I don't know. You know, I don't know if anybody in the East is going to beat LeBron.
All right. No. I capped you at 10 minutes of LeBron love. You're not going to sneak it in on Sixers time.
All right.
We'll talk about that when we get to the NBA.
All right. So I think the Sixers would be best served if they did sign Kawhi Leonard. And listen, I don't think it would be a 2-year deal. If that's all he's willing to take, I would give it to him. Garrett, I would love to give it to him. But
I guarantee you what they're going to do is they're going to offer him any deal he wants. Is he just going to say 2 plus an option for a third? He's going to agree. The Sixers will get, or Sixers or another team will get, an offer sheet signed, and then San Antonio's going to match it.
Yeah, I just don't think San Antonio will let it go.
Absolutely.
Because
Jimmy Butler.
Duncan and Ginobili are aging. If this was, 6 years ago and Duncan was still younger, maybe. But I think at this point.
Same with Jimmy Butler. You're not going to get him. But what you do is you keep Chicago in as bad a situation as possible.
I think Jimmy Butler would be more likely to go to Kawhi Leonard.
Possibly. And there's a third guy, I think, from the Warriors.
I think DeAndre Jordan.
No.
Yeah,
I wish he was. Yes. I'm pretty sure he was not. But
I think he's
unrestricted. That's a guy who I'd give max money
even
to.
The thing is, with this team, you need to, you don't need
I don't care.
George. You have Embiid, who you're hoping turns into a dominant center. You have Noel.
I don't care. I want DeAndre Jordan's a monster. I mean,
no, he is. He's a great player. I'm not arguing that, but good enough to,
He wants max deal without, which he should get.
So we're going to make a foul shot.
He should.
Yeah, so I don't think the Sixers will have interest. Just because they need it well.
Right, but I saw.
But teams will. I mean, there will be teams that are.
See, and if I'm the Sixers, I'm signing Jordan and I'm shopping Noel. I don't care. I mean, would you trade Noel for one of these point guards if you get DeAndre Jordan?
Which point?
D'Angelo Russell.
Why would I don't understand? Where would you trade Noel for Russell?
Whoever gets number three.
The Sixers might get number three.
No, let's just say the Sixers don't. Sixers get 5 and 6.
Yeah.
So you
trade Noel for Russell and you sign Jordan and you draft Justin.
Would you do that?
Yeah, I would do that.
Half a second.
Yeah.
I think that. As good as Noel was to be, DeAndre Jordan was more of a presence.
Like, I mean, Noel's a few years younger, but he's not that much younger.
He's young. He's like 21.
Noel?
Yeah.
Well, what's Jordan? Is that 25 or 26?
Well, 27, 28.
But still, he's still having a nice stretch. But, I mean, that's besides the point. That's,
I didn't even hear DeAndre Jordan. But, yeah, there's a reason why I wouldn't. Because, again, you don't really follow the big men. I think what Hinkie needs to do is just get the best players available. Say Dwight Howard's available, sign him. Figure out what to do with him later. I know you don't because you're an idiot. I'm just kidding. You're not. But
I would never want Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard, when he is motivated, can be the most dominant player in the NBA.
And Marcus Cousins.
Okay. I'm tired of your love for DeMarcus Cousins, okay? I'm sorry. We drafted Evan Turner. We didn't.
A mistake.
We did not get DeMarcus Cousins.
If you can go back in time and redraft at number 2, would you take Cousins or Turner?
No, I wouldn't take either. But the reason why is that I think Cousins still can be a horrible team player. I don't know how he's going to do on a winning team.
Yeah, his attitude is not the best. I agree with that. I'm talking about just as when he decides he's going to play basketball.
I don't want any part of that. Because if you take Cousins, looking in hindsight, and you don't get Noel, you don't get Embiid.
And I think Cousins is better than both of them.
I think you're crazy. I think Noel's got more upside than Cousins does.
Not offensively.
And
not
I think both ways. And he's averaging 10 points by the end of the year. And he's just starting to play offense.
Cousins was like a 20-14 guy or something.
I know, but he just started playing offense. I'm trying to tell
you. Yeah, I agree. Noel has upside. I'm not trying to down-talk Noel and pretend like
And there's no way you could even come close. Cousins does not affect the defensive end like Noel.
Cousins is a great defensive player.
Okay, but he's on Noel. Noel was a game changer.
All right, well, I agree to disagree that you're wrong.
You're whatever. You have certain guys that you fall in love with.
No.
Anyway.
If you put DeMarcus, did you watch any of the games that the Kings played the Sixers this year? DeMarcus Cousins bullied Noel. Wasn't even close.
Noel was just starting.
Yeah,
Noel's younger.
I get it. Noel's younger, and he hasn't been playing basketball as long, and he has more room to grow. I understand he has room to grow. But what I'm saying is when he grows to his max potential, I still think DeMarcus Cousins would be a better basketball
player. I do not. But we'll see. Time will tell on that one. Sorry, no LeBron on this one either. Phillies. Oh, my God. We can talk about the Phillies for once, and we're not talking about Redding.
I thought we were going to talk about Lob City getting...
No, okay. I was wrong about Lob City. But anyway, you were wrong around before, so I don't want to hear it.
All right. Well, so what do you think in the conference final?
All right. We'll talk about that.
All right. We'll go to that. All right. Phillies.
Local show.
Phillies. 6-game
win streak. Phillies. Thank God someone learned how to play baseball in Philadelphia. Actually, they just learned how to pitch. Our offense is still terrible. Freddie Galvis is the only hitter, I believe, on the Philadelphia roster. Hopefully, Mike Calfranco can do something.
He had his first home run the other day.
Yeah, and Howard's learning to hit again. He's an all-pro, yeah. Almost 250.
And he hits hard. I mean, Howard's a great player. People hate on Howard. They say his contract is too high, but you look at it, he's one of the most productive players in baseball in 10 years. So
right, but he's still on the downside.
Well, yeah,
I still get rid of him if you can. Even maybe 50 to 60 million, get rid of him. You can use Darren Ruff or whoever you need. The problem is,
I think the Darren Ruff experiment is pretty much coming to an end.
He never got a chance. He never started. You can't give a guy inconsistent at bats and then say he can't hit. But you gotta give him a fair shot. Same with Cody Ashie. Everyone thought Cody Ashie was horrible. Cody Ashie is not going down because he's horrible. He's going down because Franco's going to take his position and he's learned how to play the outfield.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. I agree that he went down and learned to play a different position because Franco's going to be the third baseman in the future. But I'm not sure if Ashie right now has a place in the team. I think he could.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I don't know if he's like entrenched in the Phillies' future plans. I think they want to see what he looks like in the outfield and see how his bat continues to develop. But I wouldn't say today confidently that the Phillies envision, without a shadow of a doubt, Ashie being
out. Oh, absolutely not.
2 years.
Because you can't tell. But Ashie is better defensively than Franco, and he could be a guy who could develop into a multi-positional player, and that's the kind of guy you need. Plus, the Phillies need these young position players. It's a way to keep cost control. It's a way you stockpile your arms, especially with all the arms that we have in Reading. Oh, my God. Like I keep saying, these Reading kids can pitch. They did some good moves on their trading, and they're going to have some arms coming up. They need bats. They need bats bad. Now, the good thing is Aaron Harang is pitching out of his mind. If that continues, you might be able to get a prospect for him. Move him.
Yeah.
Move along.
I mean, it's what kind of prospect are you getting?
You're probably mid-level, but, I mean, it is.
Yeah, I'm moving for mid-level.
Oh, absolutely. Prospect. Cole Hamels, you might be able to get 2 or 3.
I'm
prospect.
I'm moving.
Yeah.
I'm moving everybody. There's nobody on the team.
Ken Giles.
That's a veteran. Not. Yeah, probably not Ken Giles. I was going to say, nobody that's a veteran like that who is safe. You know, the younger guys, Giles, Franco, guys that you're going to build in your future. They hold on to that.
I think the Revere's also in danger of being moved, only because I think Odubel Herrera is a cheaper version of him, and you can't have too many guys in the outfield who have the power.
Yeah.
I think that's why Ashie's being groomed to be
outfield.
You're
not going to move every player on the team this season, then you're going to have nobody.
No, but I think Papelbon's going to move at the trade deadline.
I would love that.
I think that Hamels will move at the trade deadline. I think Harang's got a good shot of moving at the trade deadline. Those three guys, you bring in some bats, and you got a shot. Yeah, he has no trade value right now. He's got to go back up to 200.
Howard has something, I guess. You know, especially if he continues to
hit. He has none. If he had trade value.
What would that contract be? The Phillies are willing to pick up 50
or 60
contract, and he continues to hit.
It doesn't matter. Well, Baltimore has. They've been telling Baltimore, we want a mid-level prospect, and we'll give you Howard for $10 million for the next 2 years. Baltimore has balked because of his hitting. Continue hitting, and hopefully someday one of those AL teams will say, you know what, I'll take him as a DH.
That's what I said. He needs to continue hitting.
Right.
I mean, all
I'm just saying today he has no value.
One injury.
Only takes one team, too.
One team, one injury. All of a sudden, we don't have anybody who can DH, with Howard to DH, and occasionally play him at first base if we need to hit.
Right. Absolutely. All right.
Let's just talk about this win streak, though. Let's look at it. 6-game win streak. I mean, they scored 7 runs a game a few times. They've been hitting.
Cole Hamels has 4 wins this early.
Yeah.
After starting horrifically. Remember you were asking me if he was going to have a trade value?
Yeah, he's starting to pick it up.
Oh,
but
he's
always a slow starter.
He's excellent. He's already down under 3.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good pitcher. No doubt about it. What do you see this as? Do you see this as just a fluke? Like, they just win a couple games, and then they'll lose 19 in the next 28 or something?
Right. That's exactly what's going to happen. They could win the next 2 as well. They're playing the worst team in baseball.
Yeah.
They're playing the Colorado Rockies.
And then they can lose 19 to 25.
Right. It's the ebb and flow of the baseball season. It's ups and downs.
162 games.
I don't think they're the worst team in baseball. I think they're the worst lineup in baseball. I don't think they're the worst team in baseball. I think their pitching's too good. I told you that. I told you the pitching is going to surprise the people. I think it's going to surprise the people. Sean O'Sullivan, not a great pitcher. He's better than Kyle Kendrick. That's an upgrade. I know, but it's an upgrade.
I mean, come on.
It's an upgrade. And that's your weakest pitcher. That guy is in AAA. He's not even a regular starter. It's just that you got Billings.
I mean, Jerome Williams is pretty corny.
Williams has been excellent since he's been a Philly.
He's had a couple of games this year. And David Buchanan, people had expectations for him. Obviously, he didn't work out.
Yeah, didn't you predict that he'd have more wins than anyone other than Hamels?
I think he'd have more
wins. Yeah, everyone other than Hamels.
I didn't think really. All right, I'm sorry, America, if I predicted that. I don't remember.
You
but maybe,
did? And Aaron Hernandez.
I have a lot of confidence in Jerome Williams and Sean O'Sullivan.
Aaron Harang.
And Aaron Harang's pretty. He's all right.
Aaron Harang stinks.
He's not going to win Cy Young. You're making him like he's Clayton Kershaw.
I don't think so, but I think he's good enough to move for a mid-level prospect. And I told you, he led the league in what's it called, folly start slash good pitcher. And he can help a playoff team win. That's exactly what the Phillies need, because then he becomes desirable.
He's like a fourth starter on a good team.
No, he's the third starter. He's a number three. And that's exactly what you... How many good number threes are there? Aces aren't all out there. There's less than one ace a team.
Aces are even having a deal there.
Yeah, you just want hitting. Yeah, you're a flash guy. All right, chicks dig the long ball, right?
so do winning baseball teams.
Yeah, okay. All right, now we can get into the NBA playoffs, and you're capped at 10 minutes of talking about LeBron.
All right, well, let me just get your final word on the Phillies here. So you said, like, you think...
My final word.
It's the ebb and flow of the season, I get that. So let's go back now, because I think you took the under to 68.5 win in Vegas. I said it was probably going to go over. So
I still think it's going to go under.
Take the under?
Yeah, I just think there's two teams that are worse than the Phillies.
I'm not talking about the worst record in baseball.
No, I'm just telling you. The reason why I say they're not the worst team, Colorado Rockies are a worse team because they're pitching. You want to talk about pitching doesn't mean anything. Did you watch the game last night?
No, baseball game? No.
Almost every single one of Colorado's hitters is hitting over 300. Almost every one of their pitchers is Kyle Kendrick.
Of course, if you want to back, though.
But their pitchers, like Kyle Kendrick was their opening day starter.
Yeah, he's terrible. I agree.
Exactly. That's what happens when you focus too much on hitting. You need a balance. So I think the Rockies are terrible. I think the Brewers are going to be terrible. They're going to be worse than the Phillies. I
when
don't
you
think
focus too much on pitching, then you get lineup like the Phillies have.
I agree. Well, that's true. But I still think the Phillies are going to right around the 100 loss. And that's...
Well, yeah, so that's taking the 160.5.
Absolutely. We're going to move right along. This might be a short podcast. And I apologize to everyone. I'm just looking forward to getting out and watching this NBA draft lottery. It's going to be an exciting night for the Phillies.
Yeah, I mean, it's really going to...
We could end up with three picks in the first round.
It's really going to shape the future of the Sixers for the next however many years.
Absolutely. By the way, are you going to get season tickets to the Sixers? Like, are you going to get it planned?
Nah, probably not this year.
Next year?
Yeah, I might try next year. I've had them before, but this year, I don't know.
I had like a representative call me laughing about it.
They raised the prices and stuff on a team that doesn't win any basketball games.
Of course they do. They hear it's the marketplace.
No, but because when me and Tom were getting them for like 3 years in a row, they were the same price. We got the 10-game package, and they were good games, and they were $100 for 10 games. And then...
$10?
Yeah, basically. And then they raised it. And the same thing with the playoffs. It was the year that they went to the playoffs when they beat Chicago in the first round. Yeah. When they played Miami, and we got the playoff tickets for the same price. So we went to all those playoff games. But then they raised it after they got rid of everybody, and they raised it. I forget what it was, but Todd was...
It's because they sold to... They realized eventually that they didn't care about how many people were.
Yeah, eventually.
Josh Harris. Yeah, that's another thing.
Where did he make all his money?
Bonds, I think. But anyway. I'm going to just announce real quick. Flyers hired a new coach. Let me try to pronounce this guy's name correctly. He's the Dave Haxtell from North Dakota. Gary, what's your thoughts?
I think Ron Haxtell hired Dave Haxtell. Close enough, but I don't know. The thoughts are, I don't know, he's a fresh coach, hockey. He had a lot of success in college. I guess you could say similar to Chip Kelly had.
obviously not a pre-track, obviously not a part of the crew, not fully with EXO or Ed Snyder or Paul Holmgren.
And you kind of made my point there. The reason why I like this signing so much is, for once, the Flyers aren't doing the most expensive thing just to do the most expensive thing. Ed Snyder's not out there burning money just to burn money. Hextall finally got control, and he realizes he's got a young team. He needs a college-type mentality coach. Is this going to work out? I have no idea. The reason why I like it is because it's new type of thinking, and that's what's been missing for the Flyers for so long. I couldn't even tell the difference between Paul Holmgren and Bobby Clark in their ways of thinking. They just like to spend money, get up against the cap. Finally, Hextall said, wait a minute, we're going to build this thing from the draft, we're going to get some young players, and we're going to reset, and we're going to not be up against the cap so much, so we can re-sign our own guys.
I don't hate signing a free agent if there's one to help the team.
I don't hate that either. However, it's better to build through the draft.
Well, yeah, it's always better because, to build through the draft than ever before.
Because you're going to get the guys cheaper, and you get them under control. The reason why it's bad to build through free agency is because then you're up against the cap, and what happens in the middle of the year when someone gets hurt, you can't go get the best guy.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't, hold on, you can't make a trade. God, you are impatient.
Yeah.
You can't make a trade for a guy who makes more money because you're up against the cap. You need some flexibility there. Now, am I saying that they should be the Oakland Raiders and not spend any money? No, of course not. But don't get so far up against the cap that it makes it hard for your team to re-sign your own players and trade for other players. You may go.
Yeah, I think, you know, your point's valid. I think every point, of course, it's better to build bigger draft than any sport.
And the one thing I like about Holmgren is the end of his draft. You build a whole lot of young defensemen who are just about to come up. And our whole defensive corps is about to change. And I really think that's going to be a big part of improving our team. I'm sorry, Miko.
I just want to say that I do think it's better to build the draft. I don't want people to kind of go away from thinking being a free agent. It's always going to be a bad move. I mean, I know a lot of people were concerned after 2011 with the Eagles because of that whole
debacle. No, and stop comparing. Let's go apples to apples. Everyone was ecstatic when they almost got Shea Weber. Because Shea Weber is the type of playmaker who is a top-tier defensive player who can make a difference on the hockey team. Those are the kind of guys you go after. Chris Gallop. Now, there's some question marks about the execution, but from what he did the year before in Phoenix, it made sense. You know, if you get a top guy, you pay him top money. But my problem is you get the middle-tier guys.
And you pay him top dollar.
And you pay him
of course,
close, or even a little under the top money, but you still end up overpaying.
That's what makes a good GM and a bad GM.
Right, and I think that's what Hextall's biggest improvement on Holmgren is. Do you have any more thoughts on the Flyers?
No, I mean, like I said, it's a young coach, fresh ideas, see how it goes. I think there's some talent on the team, so.
Sounds so corporate today.
Yeah, we do, but. You know,
you talked to me several times about how you hate your corporate business job.
I do.
Fresh idea.
When it comes to the
young whippersnappers.
When it comes to Flyers hockey and Dave Hextall, I don't know much about Dave Hextall. So, you know, I know he was successful at North Dakota.
In relation to Ron Hextall.
Yeah, I know he's successful at North Dakota. Hopefully it transitions to the NHL. And
he's a nice young whippersnapper there.
There you go. And we'll see how the team develops around it.
All right, now we finally get to your NBA playoffs.
So, yeah, I mean, I was shocked. I'm not going to lie. I was shocked that Lob City lost.
Everyone knows that when Garrett asked me what team I like to win the finals, I said Lob City.
Yeah.
And everyone was aghast when the Spurs took them to 7 and said, oh, Matt, they're going to lose. They ended up winning. And then they just blew it to Houston.
And that wasn't a bad pick. They're a good team. And I actually thought that if they would have beat Houston, I thought they were going to beat Golden State and go to the finals.
I think they had a shot at the final, winning the finals.
So I actually thought that if they beat Houston, they were going to come out of the West. I thought they were Golden State, and I thought they would go to the finals.
But clearly, you know, it didn't happen that way. God, I don't know how you blow a 19-point lead at home in the third, late in the third quarter in game six.
Yeah.
That's just – and Harden didn't even play. He was on the bench.
He just shot the lights out. That's all that happened.
And in game seven, Houston beat him at home. You know, Houston
– and I was convinced when they made it within three, I was like, oh, my God, obviously he's going to come back.
I still thought the Clippers would win going into game seven. I said, you know what? I said, I still think they'll beat Houston and Houston. I'm not giving Houston much of a shot at beating Golden State. Like I said, I thought the Clippers would have beat Golden State probably.
I do so.
I don't think Houston's going to beat Golden State.
I agree.
As good as Steph Curry is, I think Steph Curry is amazing. I think James Harden's probably the best player on the court overall.
Doesn't matter. Klay Thompson's the second best player.
Team. Right. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson are both probably better than Howard. Draymond Green's pretty good.
That's the third free agent. Yeah. Sixers are probably going to give him an option. Max Money.
Another power forward, though. I don't know. I'd rather give it to Kawhi or Butler.
They're going to give him all three. And they're all going to resign with their team. But it's going to be the guy who... they're going to be the team who messes them up. Mess up the NBA.
I think Golden State goes and beats Houston. I think that, you know, Howard's better than Bogut. And Houston has some size. They have some... Josh Smith, you know, he can play inside, outside. He's a big guy. He's got some handle, face food, they call him. You know, Harden, I think, is the best player on the court. Reason is a solid role player. Terrence Jones, he can bang a little bit on the inside. You got guys like Pablo Prigioni, he plays a big role. He's a hard plug off the bench. I mean, Houston has some players. The Jet, Jason Terry still can play a little bit. But I just think that Golden State is going to be too much. I think Curry, Klay Thompson are too much. Draymond Green's playing at a really high level right now. Andrew Bogut's not a terrible big man. I don't understand how David Lee completely lost his role. He's a guy, talking about a guy who was an all-star a few years ago. But I just think overall Golden State's a better team. I think they're on point. Although Houston can score with them. Houston's on the defense. Golden State doesn't defend great, but they defend better than Houston. I'm going to say Golden State in six, maybe.
Ooh. Yeah, I think Golden State.
I don't think the sweep.
I think Golden State in five.
Yeah, you know, so we'll see. I mean, like I said, we both thought the Clippers would beat Houston. Houston won, so Houston can beat Golden State. Just right now, I say Golden State have favorite. Over in the East, my boy LeBron, carrying the Cavs, pretty expected. I feel bad that Kevin Love got hurt. He was still healthy, that I would say they're showing to win the championship. I don't know right now. Kyrie Irving battling some injuries. LeBron. And LeBron.
What Garrett wants to do to LeBron.
And LeBron, of course, is the best player on the court. I mean, the best player in the world. So, Atlanta's a solid team. Atlanta won the season series 3-1. Obviously, losing Kevin Love is big because he can rebound down low against Horford.
Who won the season series?
The Hawks won 3-1. Losing Love is big because he can shoot from the outside, he can score inside, he can rebound. He's the best rebounder on the court when he's playing. The better rebounder than Horford, better rebounder than Millsap. All two big guys.
I like the way that you're making it sound like you're in the Hawks. Because we all know that that's not
true. No, I'm not going to pick the Hawks. I'm just saying that the Hawks, you know, they have a couple of solid big guys. They have Horford, who just takes a solid point guard. Damari Carroll, you know, he's a good role player. He starts, but you know, he's solid. The Hawks have some subwoods off big. Kyrie Irving's hurt. Kyrie Irving's still playing, though. He's still going to come back and play, so unless he's reinstalled by fine. Timothy Mozgov, you know, he's a good pickup by them in midseason. He's going to be playing down low. Losing Love is big because of the rebound, because of the scoring. LeBron's the best player on the court. You know, nobody can stop him. J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert have been playing really well in the playoffs. Matthew Dellavedova has been contributing. Iman Shumpert's really good. I think the Hawks are going to win a couple games. You know,
I think the Hawks might win game one. If I come out in Atlanta and win game one, I think overall it's kind of a series. I think we're looking at Cleveland Golden State really at the finals.
How many teams you pick?
Six or seven.
All right. Well, I think that the two deepest teams in the playoffs are still in, and they are the Hawks and the Golden State Warriors. The Hawks just don't have deficiency. They've had poor all-stars for a reason. Mark Carroll wasn't quite an all-star, but he had a reputation. He had a shot of being the fifth all-star, which is just ridiculous. Kevin Love is a huge injury. I think even if he comes back, which I think he will not be the same player.
He's already been ruled out for a whole playoff.
Really? I think the Hawks are going to absolutely win the series. I only think it's six. I thought the Bulls would beat them, but the Bulls, again, have no heart.
Yeah.
I think that when you have Derrick Rose, you got to kind of expect him to get injured. But I do like the Hawks versus the Warriors, which no one likes. But, again, if the Cavs were healthy, I'd probably pick the Cavs in six. With it being the way it is, I'm going to pick the Hawks in seven.
I mean, it's possible. You know, like I said, they won the season series. I just think that the Hawks don't have anybody to take it over.
They have several guys to take it over. Paul Millsap is an absolute monster. And I don't think Cleveland has anyone to answer.
Yeah, Millsap, that's what I said. Luke Love's big. Not that Love's a good defender, because he's not. And Millsap can score on him.
Right, but what he can do
battle
is,
for rebound.
And he can make up the point advantage that Millsap's going to build up.
But I still believe Cleveland.
Of course you do.
Think they're better. And I don't think that the Hawks are deeper. The Hawks starting five is really good. Probably the best in the league. I mean, overall. I don't know if I'd say the best in the league, but they have five good players. And Dennis Schroeder is a good bench player. He's a good point backup point guard. besides him, who they got? They have like Mike Scott. He's their big four. Patrick, I can't even think of his name.
Well, I'm saying when I say deepest, I don't mean deepest as far as the bench. I just mean deepest as far as their roster. All their starters are borderline all-stars or all-stars. Every single one.
But they're not dominant all-stars. You know what I mean? There's a difference between
great.
Like a Steph Curry all-star and a Jeff Teague all-star.
I'm not saying anything. Just one. Kyle Korver. I don't know if he's got he changed a lot from when he was in Philly. He doesn't have many holes in his game anymore. He can defend now. He was a horrible defender in Philly.
He's still limited offensively to 3 points. He's not a guy who drives the lane.
No, he can drive a little bit.
He doesn't drive much.
He's slow. Though his big weakness is he's slow. But he does drive a little bit more. When he has a pump fake now. And when you fall for that pump fake, he's going in on you. I'm telling you. Korver is a game.
He's a good player. I'm not trying to say he's not a good player.
He filled up his holes in Chicago. All right, guys. It's going to be a relatively short show. We've already got an hour 10 in. We're just going to get to our top five. And top five is coming back from...
So real fast, you're saying Hawks, Warriors.
Hawks, Warriors.
Same Cavs, Warriors. And then who do you like to win it all?
Warriors.
Yeah, I don't know.
You like the Cavs.
I don't know. I think
you like LeBron.
I do like LeBron. I'm sorry that I think the best player in the world is entertaining. The best player in the world is entertaining to watch play basketball. I guess that's a weird thing.
Yeah. But needless to say, let's continue. All right, so our top five, we got cut off 2 weeks ago when we did our last podcast. There was something wrong with the line. You listened all the way through. My best friend finished his call or just about finished his call, and then our line cut out. And when we tried to sign back in, it wouldn't let us. So we're going to go back to 2 weeks ago, and it was
right around the draft time.
So we're going to go to the top five players the Eagles drafted in the last 30 years.
Are we doing honorable mentions first?
I only have five, so let's just do five.
All right, I'll do my honorable mention.
Number five.
Go ahead, who you got?
Number five, I got number five.
Yeah.
course. Donovan McNabb.
Go ahead. Go your reasoning why you picked him at five.
The only reason he should be one. But the reason why he's five is only because he was a top two pick. And I think the Eagles have found some guys who are comparable to him in the later rounds. Even round two, round three, who just wasn't at the absolute top of the draft. Plus, it just works out. Number five.
All right. Number five, I got Trent Cole, another one of my all-time favorite
Eagles. Trent Cole's an excellent one. He was drafted in, I believe, the fifth round.
Fifth round
out of
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I mean, probably been their best defensive end of the last decade.
I think Hugh Douglas is probably a little better.
Yeah,
but that's about a decade ago.
Yeah, Hugh Douglas about a decade ago. That's what I'm saying. You know, this recent decade, Trent Cole, you know, he's been the guy who, when the Eagles need a sack, you know, he's looking good. All right, we got a chip.
It's a good one. I don't have him on my list. I definitely should have.
And I think as in the fifth round, I think it was amazing value.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one I'm ashamed I don't have. Number four, I've got Jeremiah Trotter. I believe he was a second round pick, middle linebacker. I think he was one of the Texas schools. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, I know he did. He played at a smaller college.
One of them in Texas. I think it might have been Texas Tech or something, but or UTEP or something.
Yeah, I don't think Texas Southern.
Yeah, Texas Southern is UTEP, University of Texas El Paso. Became Texas Southern. I think one of those schools. Trotter was just the heart and soul of his defense, the X-Man. You saw his celebrations. Still hangs around in Philadelphia as a legend and talks a lot on sports radio. And he's just a great personality, great guy.
I love Trotter. He's my all-time favorite Eagle, probably. I don't have a five, but it's really tough. But he's amazing. I think he's great. Number four, I got B. West, all around back, catches the ball, runs the ball, local guy, Dylan Fry. Third round pick, came out of a great draft that came up. Ludo Shepard, Sheldon Brown, Michael Lewis, the safety man, Pro Bowl. Amazing draft. I think Brian Westbrook really just did everything for the team that you needed. Caught the ball, he blocked, he ran, playmaker on the team for a long time, and, you know, in the third round, you pick yourself up a really, really good running back.
All right, number three, I've got Jason Kelce.
Sixth round pick.
Yeah, and he's been all pro already at center. I don't know if anyone remembers before he was drafted, the trials and tribulations of Jamal Jackson and Hank Fraley.
They had a couple good seasons, though. They weren't
Hank Fraley in the beginning was really good. And
Jamal Jackson.
Jamal Jackson was very
good. Jason better, but.
Jason Kelce just solidified that inside, though.
Yeah.
And to find him in the sixth round, not only that, he's got a brother who plays freaking tight end, who Andy Reid picked up. Phenomenal.
Number three, I got a guy who's probably not very popular in the city right now. Guess it's back again. Shady McCoy, number one Eagles all-time rusher, absolute dynamic playmaker, most electric player, probably Barry Sanders when he gets the ball in his hand, cuts on a dime, catches the ball, blocks, runs, could run inside, could run outside. He could basically run receiver routes. I mean,
people aren't
happy with him right now. It's a lot of hypocrisy going on.
I'm not going to get into all that. I was the biggest Shady fan that you will ever have.
But I mean, I think as far as a guy who's just really been a monster here, I mean, he's all time leading rusher, one of his all time total yards. He did everything. I think he was better on Westbrook. I think he was the greatest runner.
I think Shady was great, but I think Westbrook carried him on for a few more. I'm already seeing Shady start to decline. That's why I think Kelly traded him. Number two, which brings me to number two, Ryan Westbrook. Out of Villanova, how did the team pass on him for three rounds? I'll never understand.
Position, size.
Size.
Running
the small school.
Running back, small school.
No, running backs back then were drafted.
They were taking
Small
school had a lot.
Small school and his size. But, oh, my God, that guy was amazing. He was the best receiving the best receiving running back that we've ever had. And I think he was the biggest playmaker we've ever had. Shady was the most consistent guy. Westbrook could break it from anywhere. And he's the guy who was small, but he was versatile. And he played on special teams. Just amazing player. Probably
my
favorite Eagle.
I think he was – I put him on my list at four, talked about him. I think he was great. I think Shady was a playmaker, but I think Westbrook was right there. Number two, I got Dawkins, Wolverine. I know everybody, Jesus Christ in Philadelphia, they love him. I think he's great, you know, all-time safety, Hall of Famer. Probably my second favorite defensive player behind Trotter. Maybe they're, like, tied 1A, 1B, pretty close to their tie. You know, not much other praise you can put on Dawkins. He speaks for himself. Everybody remembers all the big hits. Remember him taking out Algie Crumpler in the NFC Championship when they finally got him to the Super Bowl. Coming out, doing this little crawl thing. You know, the absolute heart and soul of these men, you could say, a long trotter for all those years. And just, looks like we have a call coming in.
Oh, you already warned me that it's going to be loud, but let's get in.
Finish our list up in a minute.
Hey, what's up, Eric?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
What's up, guys?
Nothing.
No, I ran upstairs, and they're in between cutting, so.
That's
great. Eric's getting his house redone.
Oh, okay, nice. What kind of work you getting done?
Kitchen. Kitchen remodel.
Oh, all right. That's cool. So we were talking a little bit about a couple of different things. I don't know what's on your mind. You're talking about Brady, lottery, Phillies. I don't know. What are you interested in right now?
Well, I mean, as far as on that topic, I think Brady's punishment is going to get reduced. I actually think Robert Kraft, what he did today was probably calculated like a behind-the-scenes handshake deal, saying, okay, we'll accept this, but you're going to help me with Brady. And I think it's going to be reduced some. I think he'll still get at least a game, no more than two. I don't think they'll wipe the whole thing away, which is actually good news for the Eagles because week three is Patriots-Cowboys, so that's a good thing.
Do you think that – would you rather – what do you think was the harshest part of that punishment? Do you think it was the suspension or the drafting? Because I was okay with the suspension. I thought it was too many games. I would like to see it reduced, but I thought taking the drafting was way too harsh.
To tell you the truth, just from what I've seen, the Patriots are responsible for everything because it's their organization. Not to say that I don't think Brady had anything to do with it, because clearly he did. But the actual evidence they have on him is pretty circumstantial. They don't have anything hard. So for them to give him a 4-game suspension based on, you know, we think based on the evidence that we've gathered that he probably had something to do with it, you know, I thought 4 games was pretty harsh, whereas New England's responsible for this. They're even responsible for everybody under their organization, including Tom Brady. So they should be punished, frankly. $1 million to Robert Kraft is like 10 cents to you, me, and Matt. And, a fourth-round pick is meh. First-round pick's the one that matters. Clearly that's the one. And, I said, if that's the major punishment the team got, I'm okay with that. I think it's kind of fair because clearly they did something that was illegal and against the rules, and it falls under the grouping of the Patriots. You know,
for the third time. Well, me and Matt were having a big argument earlier. I thought it was too harsh a penalty. Matt thought it was too light or fine. You seem to be on the fence. I can't tell because you're saying the suspension, the Brady's too much, the draft picks are okay. So overall package, where do you see it?
Overall, I think it was probably fair. I don't think it went overboard. And I think it'll become, I think it'll become even more fair. Like, if you had to tell me I couldn't do 50-50 and I had to choose a side, whereas at this current moment, I'd say it's a little on the unfair side because, you know, suspending your starting quarterback for 4 games at the quarter of the season, that's a lot. But I think that's going to get reduced, and I think that will make the whole thing fair and balanced. I think they do deserve to get punished, and they are. And I think, you know, I think the picks are okay. I think the fine is irrelevant because that's nothing to Robert Kraft. And, you know, like I said, I don't think they have enough. If they had some, like, hot bed evidence that 100% said, yes, Tom Brady, you definitely were involved in this. You told them to do it. You watched them do it, whatever the case may be. Then yes, then everything would be fair. But I don't think they have that, and that's why I think it's a little unfair and will be reduced to where it will become fair.
Matt was telling me that nobody was agreeing with me that it was unfair. So Matt, you want to go ahead and talk to your friend?
That was a great test.
I'm having trouble hearing these guys. I know, Garrett. It sounds like you're saying that you thought probably the opposite of me.
Well,
whereas,
I was saying that Matt thought. Me and Matt were arguing earlier, and he was saying that nobody was agreeing with me when I said it was an unfair penalty. And it sounds like you're kind of more on my side that it was too harsh. So I told Matt to make his point.
I just think it's absolutely. Listen, my argument is instead of problem, the pitchers keep getting caught cheating. They need to be stopped. And the reason why more wouldn't sort of make a competitive advantage again. And also, I think that Brady tried to cover it up, and I think that's why Peyton got a full year. Why I think that Brady should not allow him. Not so much for the crime, but more for the cover up. That's what Goodell said he was punishing before he got caught in all the Ray Rice scandal and all that crap.
I also think the guy in all this who's going to get screwed, and there's nothing he can do to win, is Goodell. You know, because, you know, Patriots are his boys. Everybody knows he's got a relationship with Kraft, you know, but his job's been threatened before because of discipline or lack thereof, you know, so, and now he's going to be the arbitrator. Like, if he cuts Brady a break, he's going to look like a jerk, like he's favoring the Patriots. If he doesn't cut Brady a break, then he's going to be like, wow, you suspended Ray Rice 2 games and he hit a girl and Brady deflated a ball and you're giving him 4. Like, I think the guy who ultimately loses in this is Goodell, because there is almost nothing he can do to win, make himself look good.
I like Goodell. I think he's made some mistakes, but, you know, I don't hate him. I think he's in a bad situation here. I know the Players Association's trying to push him out of the appeal process, so he might not have anything to do with the appeal if they get their way. So she would have to there. I think that would be the best case scenario.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I mean that's really going to be, that could be up to him though. Like, he's the one who might have to say, well, I'll step down, and he might not. I mean, it's a tough decision. I mean, if he did that, that might be the only way out for him. If he just says, okay, maybe they're right, and it should be, we do feel the report's fair, so we're going to let somebody totally independent the ruling, and then he's kind of clear of everything.
I think they're
going to
have to take
it
off from
that. It's possible. But, we'll see. Where do you stand on the playoffs? I know you're probably surprised, like everyone else, with Houston. What's your conference finals? What do you like?
Yeah, I mean, I will admit I'm very shocked that Houston came back. I didn't think they had that in them. And, that being said, I'm going to doubt them again, and I think the Warriors are going to beat them. I think the Warriors might have figured out something against Memphis, who's a really good defensive team, a lot better defensively than Houston is. They figured out how to play, and I think they're going to use that to their advantage. Plus, I just don't trust Houston to stay good and stay consistent. I just don't. I think their history has been up and down, and I think Golden State's going to take advantage of that. Now in the East, I still favor Cleveland a little bit. But with Kyrie not being 100%, you got to say Atlanta has a chance, but I think Cleveland should win this series.
Matt got Atlanta, I got Cleveland, and we both got Warriors. I think Houston's like the worst defensive team I might have ever seen. I don't know. Golden State might average like 135 points a game this series.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I just, like I said, I don't trust Houston. I'm shocked they're this far, and I think Golden State's gonna take them a little bit.
Who won the NBA draft from the lottery?
Well, the lottery. I feel the lottery is gonna, the Knicks or the Lakers are gonna win the lottery somehow, or both of them. And the Sixers are going to get stuck with just the 3 pick, which might not be a bad thing because then they get the point guard they need as opposed to taking a big man again and then trading one and, you know, starting over yet again. But I think that's the way it's going to work out. The Knicks have to win the lottery somehow, and so or the Lakers, and so they will.
Like Boudier or Russell?
Russell, you know, if not for anything, for my sake, I've never even seen the other kid, really. So what the heck do I know about it? I've seen Russell. I like Russell. I like everything I hear from Russell. Just thought I'll just claim on the fact of that I don't honestly know. Claim total ignorance. I don't know enough about the other kid. I can only go with what I know.
I agree. I want Russell. And about the Knicks or the Lakers, everybody's saying that like it's some kind of conspiracy, but the Knicks had the second worst record in the league, and the Lakers had the fourth worst record in the league. So it's not really far-fetched to think that one of them can get the number one overall draft. It's not like the Knicks were the 15th worst team and they won the lottery, or the 13th worst team. But this year, the Knicks have the second worst record in the league, so they win the lottery. It's not exactly a big leap.
Yeah, I understand it's not a big jump for them, but still, I mean, every year it seems like, you know, the NBA would love to see win the lottery. It's just too convenient. I think I know Matt has made this argument before, and I agree with him. Just make the drawing public. If you do the drawing in public, then no one can say nothing. It's there. It's out in the open. Like, okay, that's obviously what happened.
It makes it harder, but you can still put in certain ping pong balls or some way to fix it to still get the, you know what I mean? Because it's not like stranger picking. It's still the commissioner or whatever. And there's still a way that you can do it live and still have the Knicks come out on top if you want the Knicks to come out on top.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's possible. That's true too. But, you know, at least you'll take away a lot of doubters. Even if you are still somehow cheating it, you know, you'll take away a lot of doubters because people will see it, you know. And you could still make a TV event out of it, and it could be dramatic and all that jazz. So, you know, I just say it couldn't hurt. Even if you're still going to rig it, quote unquote, because, you know, we don't have any actual proof of this. It's just, you know, some weird circumstance. But, you know, if you're going to do it that way, at least you take away a lot of the doubters because they can see it happen. So, I don't know. To me, it doesn't make sense not to.
This year, they're letting representatives in, but they're taking all their cell phones. No one can get it out. So, hopefully, that'll bring some justice and maybe source some faith that this one's fair. But I agree, there's still ways to rig it, or at least get the odds greater. But we'll see. Eric, we're just finishing up the podcast now. We're going to go to our last. We have one more guy of our favorite Eagles who were drafted. And I am coming to pick you up so we can go to the draft party and hopefully meet some listeners to our podcast. Sound good?
All right. Sounds good.
All right, dude. I will talk to you. I will see you right after this.
All right. Sounds
Sorry, Eric, for cutting you off.
Eric, one of our...
My best friend.
Matt's best friend who called all the time, Matt. He's nothing about
that. He won't. I'll see him tonight. I apologize.
Yeah.
Maybe buy him a beer.
All right.
Maybe buy him a water.
Who's your number one?
Number one is Brian Dawkins, Weapon X. The greatest defensive player in my lifetime for the Eagles.
Oh, for the Eagles, yeah.
No, for the Eagles. By far. I could not believe the way that guy played. He just played out of his mind. Safety's an overlooked position often. He brought value to the safety position. Come up and hit, cover, do it all. And he is one of the biggest hitters of all time, which, of course, pleased the fans. I didn't hear Donovan on yours, so I'm guessing he's number one for you.
Number one. Yep, number one.
The Donovan.
Number five. Will always love you, Donovan. Ed. He was.
Why does he sound angry when he says that? Why don't you understand that?
But besides their rocky relationship, I mean, just as far as a player, he was a part of the most successful time in Eagles history.
He's definitely the most important player in Eagles history.
Yeah, I mean,
the only reason why I had him so low was because of where he was drafted. But he was absolutely the most important player.
Yeah, I mean, he was drafted number two overall, so you expect it. But a lot of guys are drafted number one and two overall, and they don't live up to it. So,
Tim Couch, who was drafted
right
before.
Right, Akilah Smith was three. I mean, so.
Josh McDaniels was right there.
The fact that he lived up to it means something. And for better or worse, you know, for all of his off-the-field antics, all of his problems, he produced. I mean, he made multiple Pro Bowls. He had great numbers. He had great record. They only got to the one Super Bowl. They lost in New England, but they went to five NFC championships, which is pretty good. I mean, I think they won a division. It was an unprecedented. I mean, they dominated the NFC East during the McNabb years. I know they didn't win every year, but, you know, he just did everything. I mean, in his younger days, he was a really multi-dimensional quarterback. He could run. He could still run a little bit. As he got older, he gained a couple pounds, slowed off a little bit. But when he first came in the league, I mean, dynamic runner, great pass. You know, not great pass. He came in with Andy. They came in together at their run. And it was, people don't like to admit it, but it was the most successful run in Eagles history. They didn't win the championship, but as far as winning division, making conference finals, they got to the one Super Bowl. I don't think you can argue that they were the most successful run. Recently, I don't know, maybe back in like the 60s or something.
Yeah, they won the championship.
Right, but I'm talking about it recently.
I agree. All right. Well, Garrett,
as an honorable mention, Jeremiah Trotter has to be on there. I didn't put him on my list, but, you know, yeah, man. My boy, I love Trotter. I thought Macklin was a good pick. D-Jax was a good pick. I thought Nick Foles was a great pick, even though he didn't play it too long, unfortunately. And Jason Kelce, too.
Absolutely. All right, well, that's just about going to do it for our show. Garrett, what are you doing this weekend?
I don't know, it's Memorial Day weekend, so I want to go to the shore. I don't know if I'm going to, because I didn't rent a room. Usually, my buddies get a room. We didn't do that. So, we have to start seeing who's going down. And the room, I can crash it. I'll box up, too. If I don't go down the shore, and I don't know, then
my girlfriend's working all weekend. I think she gets like one day off. So I don't even know what I'm doing. So I have my gaming license stuff tomorrow, so I have to apply for that. That's going to the state police right next to Harris, dealing with a bunch of their questions and whatnot. I have 15 years of employment history. It's tough to remember, but hopefully I'll get that all figured out tonight when I get home from the lottery draft party. All right, everybody. Good episode. And
thanks for listening. Again, feel free. Please follow us on Twitter at Matt Cisco or at Talk Matt Garrett. Talk W Matt Garrett. Talk W Matt. It'll come up. Or at Matt Cisco. Again, our phone number is 9-6-7-5-3-15-9-7. Hit us up on Twitter. Call us on the podcast. Tell us what you think. opinion. He's more than your question. Again, at Matt Cisco or at Talk with Matt and Garrett. Talk WNN.
All right, guys. Yeah, we're going to end it. We'll be back next week, probably in a more normal time. We usually try to do this about Tuesday nights around 5:45. Tonight we went a little early just because of this draft party. And we're getting out of here. And see you next week.
See ya.